With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thank you for turning on the radio this morning for your agriculture news. Today is Thursday, July 27th. Coming up in today's show, the House Agriculture Committee discusses the renegotiation of NAFTA. The full House Agriculture Committee held a hearing on the North American Free Trade Agreement and renegotiation efforts with Canada and Mexico, which will begin in August. There was one phrase heard over and over from witnesses at the hearing.
Please do no harm and do not jeopardize our access.
Again, you know, I'll repeat, it is imperative that all parties make every effort to do no harm to our existing markets as modernization talks begin.
Any renegotiating of the NAFTA must preserve current market access levels for U.S. agricultural commodity and products, including all tariff and duty preferences. In simple terms, as you've heard already, do no harm to our current excellent export positions in Mexico and Canada.
U.S. dairy, poultry, and egg producers would like to see Canada's supply management system addressed in the NAFTA renegotiations. Reggie Brown of Florida testified on behalf of the nation's specialty crop producers. He had a dire message to share with lawmakers, warning about the ill effects of NAFTA for U.S. fruit and vegetable growers. Brown responded to a question from Chairman Mike Conaway about how NAFTA has altered the landscape of fruit and veggies in the U.S.
Do you have any sense of your distortions, how much of that is actually U.S. producers choosing to grow in Mexico and bringing those products in the U.S. versus folks who don't have that kind of opportunity to compete? Can you break that market down for us?
I can't give you absolutely specific details, but it will actually vary with the particular commodity. In the case of the tomato industry, there are some U.S. producers that are participating in production enterprises in Mexico, but to a large part, the tomato industry in Mexico is driven by Mexican interest. In the case of strawberries and blueberries and some of the fruit crops that are exploding in Mexico as we speak, there's a lot of American interest relocating from California into Mexico in that process. So it will vary depending on the commodity.
Thank you, Chairman. You'll back, Mr. Peterson, 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Vilsack, welcome back to the committee. Good to see you here again.
Former Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack testified on behalf of the dairy industry. We have his full comments coming up later in this show. We go now to other agriculture news of the day. Here's Brian German.
UC Cooperative Extension Rice Farm Advisors will be offering two Wheaty Rice field meetings on August 1st and August 2nd. Growers, PCAs, and other interested parties are invited to observe infested fields to learn about spotting and identifying Wheaty Rice before it's headed. On August 1st, they will be meeting at the intersection of Old Highway 99 and Comet Lane in Maxwell. On August 2nd, the meeting will be held on Vernon Road, about a mile and a half south of West Callett Road in Nicholas. Advisors will be demonstrating how to differentiate Wheaty Rice from other grassy weeds and allow participants to see what Wheaty Rice looks like in the field. Wheaty Rice samples will also be available for inspection and comparison with other weeds. The observation of the infested fields will take place from the field's edge, so boots won't be required. The meetings will take place between 8 and 10 a.m. More information is available through the UCANR Rice blog. I'm Brian German for AgNet West.
Specialty Crop News, brought to you by the Almond Board of California. Find them online at almonds.com. It's still a few months out, but it's just about time to book your hotel room for the annual Almond Conference. Almond Board Manager of Industry Communications, Jenny Nicolau, tells us more.
Be sure to mark your calendars for next Tuesday, August 1st at 9 a.m. That's the first time that you can book your hotel rooms for the 2017 Almond Conference. Rooms can be reserved easily by visiting almondconference.com or by calling the hotels directly. If you visit almondconference.com, you could click on the location or hotel tab, and that'll give you all the local hotels offering the discounted rate for the Almond Conference. And don't forget, pre-registration for the Almond Conference is now open, and it's free to attend. Simply visit almondconference.com and you can plan your trip to the Almond Conference, which is held December 5th through the 7th at the Sacramento Convention Center.
Almond Board Manager of Industry Communications, Jenny Nicolau. The Agriculture Secretary chaired the latest meeting of the White House Task Force on Agriculture and Rural Prosperity. Rod Bain reports.
It was 3 months ago a presidential executive order was signed. This order also establishes the Interagency Task Force on Agriculture and Rural Prosperity to be led by Secretary Perdue.
President Donald Trump making his announcement in April, an announcement that included the designation of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue as chair of the task force. And Tuesday, the secretary hosted federal agency representatives on the task force at USDA headquarters in Washington, D.C. The morning gathering was the second meeting of the task force, following up on last month's inaugural working session.
We've got technology issues, we've got infrastructure issues, we've got health issues, all of that. I think he saw the USDA and the Secretary of Agriculture as the one to bring these interagencies together.
Future meetings will continue dialogue and the crafting of recommendations involving policies and programs related to the farm and rural economies, with the task force scheduled to present the White House a final report by mid-October. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Attention, California citrus growers, production managers, industry professionals. The 26th annual Citrus Expo in Fort Myers, Florida is proud to host U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue on August 16th, the first day of the show. Make plans now to attend the 26th annual Citrus Expo on August 16th and 17th for an opportunity to mingle with Secretary Perdue on the trade show floor. The latest in citrus research and data will also be presented at over a dozen seminars. Don't wait. Pre-register now at citrusexpo.net.
Your local DuPont Pioneer team doesn't take with you from the word go lightly, especially when it comes to forages. Just ask your fellow producers, folks like Amos Smith.
We have an awesome support team from Pioneer. I think that they're probably one of the reasons why we are successful.
And Bruce Cullum.
They'll come out just anytime you want to call them and help us. You don't get that from all your other seed dealers, but these guys are here all season long.
As well as Ken Felt.
Just know that, you know, the research that Pioneer's done, it really, it shows, and that the cows really do well with it, so we continue to use it.
Or Billy Rucker.
All in all, you know, seem like Pioneer is always in the top. I bleed green, and I bleed Pioneer.
Want a team that's with you from the word go? That's DuPont Pioneer. Ask them about leveraging the silage zone resource to produce the highest quality forages for your operation. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
What's happening below the surface can mean success or failure for your crops. New MycoApply Endomax from Valent USA Corporation is the latest innovation to help take your tree nut, tree fruit, vine, and vegetable crops to the next level. MycoApply Endomax contains a unique blend of four mycorrhizal fungi that colonizes a plant's roots to create a symbiotic root and mycelial network. Where water is limited, this enhanced network improves plant vigor by expanding the root's ability to efficiently absorb water and nutrients under variable environmental conditions. Ultimately, MycoApply Endomax helps deliver consistent plant health and overall performance to optimize yield. Plus, MycoApply Endomax is OMRI listed for organic production. Maximize your crop's potential with new MycoApply Endomax from Valent. For more information, contact your PCA or visit valent.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. The Independent Community Bankers of America, or ICBA, is urging Congress to adopt a new long-term farm bill incorporating five broad goals and offer enhancements to USDA programs to prevent a farm credit crisis. Testifying before the Senate Agriculture Committee this week, an ICBA representative advocated for Congress to adopt a dynamic multi-year farm bill to provide continuity and enable agricultural producers and their lenders to engage in multi-year business decision-making. The organization wants Congress to provide producers ample funds for commodities, crop insurance, and credit programs to help them weather a potential farm income or farm credit crisis. Other goals include considering any program changes that benefit producers and their community banks, directing agencies to reduce regulatory burdens and prohibit regulations not based on statutory language, require federal agencies' rules to treat all categories of program participants fairly, and requiring direct loan programs to complement, not undercut, private sector lending. Senate Agriculture Committee leaders and witnesses came out swinging in defense of crop insurance during a lengthy farm bill hearing this week. Ag lawmakers and producers from across the nation stressed many farm bill needs, including a strong safety net, improvements in the county ARC or Ag Risk Coverage Program, the dairy and cotton programs, and trade expansion efforts, but pressed none more strongly than protecting crop insurance. Administration efforts to pair program funding in fiscal 2018 have already failed, but Senate Ag Chair Pat Roberts had this warning if those efforts persist in the Farm Bill.
We are not going to cut crop insurance, period. The House budget reflects that. We have yet to determine a budget here, but that would be the chairman's choice, and I'm sure the distinguished ranking member as well.
Chairman of the Crop Insurance Professionals Association, William Cole, argues crop insurance is saving farmers and taxpayers a bundle, but has its enemies, which include the Heritage Foundation and the Environmental Working Group, proposing changes.
Dr. Art Barnaby of Kansas State University sums it up this way. If all these crop insurance changes were to pass, it would kill crop insurance, and if just one of them were to pass, it would upset the equilibrium and start the death spiral.
Among the proposed changes, arbitrary coverage limits, premium discount cuts, and cuts to insurers' operating support and rates of return. Ron Rutledge heads Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance of Iowa.
Yet despite the critical role crop insurance plays in providing fiscally responsible protection to farmers, we know crop insurance will face attacks during the 2018 Farm Bill process. I believe many of these attacks are fueled by misinformation. On average, over the last 5 years, 54% of Farmers Mutual Hail customers paid premiums out of their own pockets and received zero indemnity payments. That's not an investment looking to earn a return. That's how insurance is supposed to work.
CIPA's Cole argued the rise of crop insurance saved farmers and rural communities and put an end to ad hoc crop loss disaster programs, saving taxpayers $17 billion since 2008 and projected to save another $6.7 billion in the next 10 years.
Well, in today's livestock news, National Cattlemen's Beef Association CEO Kendall Frazier testified this week before the U.S. House Ag Committee on Capitol Hill in support of the North America Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. He discusses his testimony, which supported keeping foreign markets open to American beef producers.
Do no harm. NAFTA has been a great asset to U.S. cattlemen, and here's why. We have developed both Canada and Mexico into two of the top five markets for U.S. beef around the world. Both of those markets approach $1 billion in sales a year from U.S. cattlemen. That is very important. We're able to do that duty-free. In other words, there are no tariffs on our product going into those countries. So it's a big part of why exports around the world for U.S. beef are now worth over $300 per head on fed cattle.
And during his testimony, Frazier warned Congress against using the treaty's renegotiation to resurrect failed policies like mandatory country of origin labeling.
The World Trade Organization has ruled on mandatory country of origin labeling, and if it were implemented, the United States beef going into Canada and Mexico would face substantial, almost $1 billion worth of tariffs on our product going into both of those countries, which would make us less competitive in those markets. So we would risk $2 billion in markets, and the Canadians and Mexican have been very clear that if we go forward with mandatory country of origin labeling, they will implement the WTO decision and put tariffs on U.S. beef. So the impact of that would be lower prices for U.S. cattlemen.
Again, that was NCBA CEO Kendall Frazier. He told the House Ag Committee that we must learn from the mistakes of the past and not repeat them. He said, we encourage you to build on the success that current NAFTA provisions have given U.S. beef producers. And the National Pork Producers Council this week expressed support for the No Regulation Without Representation Act of 2017. The legislation that was introduced in the U.S. House by Wisconsin Republican James Sensenbrenner would stop states from adopting laws and regulations that ban the sale of out-of-state products that don't meet their criteria. MPPC says that means the bill would prohibit a state from imposing tax or regulatory burdens on businesses, including pork operations that are not physically present in the state. NPPC CEO Neil Dirks testified to Congress Tuesday, saying changes in production practices should be driven by the marketplace, not government or even ballot initiatives. Now, 9 states have banned, through legislation or ballot measures, gestation stalls, battery cages, and veal crates. But only California and Massachusetts extended the bans to sales in their state of products produced anywhere in the country that don't comply with their housing standards. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West. AgriView with Evergreiner is next.
By now, the first of some 100 supermarkets owned by a German grocery giant should be open in the U.S. When all 100 stores are open, it's going to make a lot of difference to a lot of East Coast shoppers. And there will ultimately be 20 such stores, primarily in the Carolinas and Virginia. Now, the company claims it will save shoppers up to 50% of their grocery bill. The company operates about 10,000 stores throughout Europe. The plan is to build stores of at least 20,000 square feet, and they promise shopping will be simple and easy. I suppose that the food supplies they carry will be all American. Anyway, economically, this is going to create 5,000 new jobs. Nothing wrong with that. But to save shoppers 50% on their grocery list is a promise that most Americans will believe when they see it. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Griner, Agnet West.
As we told you earlier, the House Ag Committee held a hearing to highlight opportunities for agriculture in the upcoming renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Chairman Michael Conaway of Texas and members of the committee heard from various stakeholder groups on opportunities to achieve the best deal possible for American agriculture. We have for you now the opening comments from Conaway, followed by comments from Colin Peterson.
I want to start by welcoming our witnesses today. Thank you for taking your time out of your schedules to share your thoughts with us today. As we noted often, American farmers and ranchers are most efficient, productive, and competitive producers in the world. Their ability to meet the rapidly growing and ever-changing demands at both at home and abroad has allowed our country to become one of the world's most open agricultural economies, supplying our trading partners with a safe and affordable food and fiber supply. These trade relationships have become an essential part of the U.S. agriculture industry, and nowhere is trade more important than our relationships with our neighbors to the north and south. For more than 20 years, NAFTA has governed trade among our three countries, and in that time, U.S. agriculture exports to Canada and Mexico have nearly quadrupled. Both countries have remained essential trading partners for the U.S., accounting for roughly 28% of the total U.S. agricultural trade. While Canada and Mexico regularly are two of our top three export destinations for agriculture products, they also remain the United States' largest suppliers of agricultural inputs. In 2016, while the U.S. continued to run an overall trade surplus in agriculture, we managed to run a trade imbalance with both Mexico and Canada, totaling over $6 billion. So a lot has changed since 1994 agreement was signed. All three economies are much larger, and production agriculture has evolved and improved, growing to meet ever-changing consumer demands and technological advances. And it's against this backdrop that the Trump administration prepares to renegotiate the terms of NAFTA. I recognize there's a certain level of angst among renegotiating the terms of our agreement, but let me reiterate, we have no interest in reversing any of the production agriculture's hard-fought gains, and the administration has made it clear that it doesn't either. In fact, the recently published renegotiated objectives affirmed the importance of maintaining existing reciprocal duty-free market access for agricultural goods. Whether you're focused on maintaining current market access or you're eager for prospects of expanded trade opportunities, production agriculture stands to benefit from a modernized trade agreement with our neighbors to the north and south. As always, we must stay vigilant and all work together to ensure that we achieve the best deal possible for American agriculture. And with that, I yield to the ranking member for any comments he would like to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I also want to welcome today's witnesses. And we have a diverse group of industry representatives, and they'll share their opinions on changes to NAFTA. I'm supportive of efforts to renegotiate NAFTA, but we may need to make sure that the end result will work for agriculture. And as all my producers have said, just make sure we do no harm with whatever we end up doing. I'm concerned about some of the issues arising with respect to the agriculture exports to Mexico as a result of some of the rhetoric and uncertainty around this negotiation. But the biggest issue that I've had with NAFTA is the fact that Canada has been allowed to continue their supply management system for dairy and poultry. And you know, that when they did the original negotiation, they did not have ultra-filtered milk, and so there was no, that was not protected under the agreement, and so they, you know, they, this Class 7 was established, and the market was shopped around to some of our producers, and even though it was a month-to-month thing, and then Canada figured out this was undermining their situation, and they stopped it. So it's part of the, you know, problem that we've got when dealing with them with their supply management system. The biggest problem, though, I think, is that the number three and number five largest dairy companies in the United States are now owned by Canadians. And one of those is actually a Canadian co-op. So we have a Canadian co-op that is bigger than Land O'Lakes and DFA and our co-ops, which I'm not sure is a good thing for the long term in the United States. So this is an issue that I've raised with the USTR ambassador, with Secretary Ross. They're both aware of what's going on, and they said they would work to address it. But, you know, the last couple months I've met with Canadians, both government higher officials and some of the Ag Committee people, and given their response, I'm not holding my breath. So I hope that in this negotiation we can get some kind of a path to get this supply management thing so that we've got a level playing field with Canadians. So our farmers need a good deal, and that's why we're here to listen to testimony today. And I hope that everybody's listening, especially the administration, as we begin negotiating NAFTA, and that, again, whatever we end up doing, we don't do any harm to the markets that we've been able to establish. Yield back.
Coming up after the break, we hear from Tom Vilsack. This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West, and we will be back in just a moment.
Attention, California citrus growers, production managers, industry professionals. The 26th annual Citrus Expo in Fort Myers, Florida is proud to host U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sunny Perdue on August 16th, the first day of the show. Make plans now to attend the 26th annual Citrus Expo on August 16th and 17th for an opportunity to mingle with Secretary Perdue on the trade show floor. The latest in citrus research and data will also be presented at over a dozen seminars. Don't wait. Pre-register now at citrusexpo.net.
Your local DuPont Pioneer team doesn't take with you from the word go lightly, especially when it comes to forages. Just ask your fellow producers, folks like Amos Smith.
We have an awesome support team from Pioneer. I think that they're probably one of the reasons why we are successful.
And Bruce Cullum.
They'll come out just anytime you want to call them and help us. You don't get that from all your other seed dealers, but these guys are here all season long.
As well as Ken Felt.
Just know that, you know, the research that Pioneer's done, it really, it shows, and that the cows really do well with it, so we continue to use it.
Or Billy Rucker.
All in all, you know, seem like Pioneer is always in the top. I bleed green, and I bleed Pioneer.
Want a team that's with you from the word go? That's DuPont Pioneer. Ask them about leveraging the silage zone resource to produce the highest quality forages for your operation. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
Agnet West Radio Network.
The House Budget Committee has voted 22-14 along party lines.
Your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. Agnet West's team of Sabrina Hill.
As crews continue to fight the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County.
Brian German.
Weedy rice has been a growing concern for California farmers.
And myself, Taylor Hillman. Join us every day to stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from Agnet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
What's happening below the surface can mean success or failure for your crops. New MycoApply Endomax from Valent USA Corporation is the latest innovation to help take your tree nut, tree fruit, vine, and vegetable crops to the next level. MycoApply Endomax contains a unique blend of four mycorrhizal fungi that colonizes a plant's roots to create a symbiotic root and mycelial network. Where water is limited, this enhanced network improves plant vigor by expanding the root's ability to efficiently absorb water and nutrients under variable environmental conditions. Ultimately, MycoApply Endomax helps deliver consistent plant health and overall performance to optimize yield. Plus, MycoApply Endomax is OMRI listed for organic production. Maximize your crop's potential with new MycoApply Endomax from Valent. For more information, contact your PCA or visit valent.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
When it comes to a healthy bottom line for your farming operation, nothing helps like healthy soil. Producers who use soil health management systems report lower input costs while maintaining or even improving their yields. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today to find out more.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. We continue our coverage of the House Agriculture Committee hearing on NAFTA. Former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was one of the featured witnesses. Vilsack is now the president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. We have his remarks, followed by Kendall Frazier, Chief Executive Officer of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you and the ranking member of the committee for the opportunity to be here today on behalf of the nearly 42,000 dairy operators in the United States, the 1,300 plants that process dairy products, and the over 100,000 employees that are employed as a result of ag exports, providing a safe, stable, and sustainably produced supply of dairy products. Mr. Chairman, I want to emphasize the importance of exports to the dairy industry. Since 1994, we've seen an increase of $36 billion to the bottom line for producers and processors as a result of exports. It's added about $1.25 per hundredweight, and one out of every seven tankers today on the road is headed to an export market. So it is important for us to focus on trade, and we appreciate the opportunity to comment about the renegotiation and modernization of NAFTA. We think this offers an opportunity to preserve what's working in NAFTA, to strengthen what can be better, and to fix what is currently not working with our trade relationships with Mexico and Canada. Let me talk briefly about all three. We need to preserve the reciprocal duty-free market access and opportunity that is presented as a result of NAFTA. We've seen the benefit of that, particularly in the Mexican market. Nearly one-third of all of our dairy exports go to Mexico. It now represents 73% of all of the imported dairy products that go into Mexico come from the U.S. It's an amazing opportunity for us that can grow over time. We need to strengthen the SBS provisions of NAFTA to ensure that science-based rules continue to be established in a transparent way. We need to focus on rules of origin, and we need to strengthen the geographic indications provisions protecting the use of common names, particularly for cheese products. And finally, we need to fix, Mr. Chairman, the trade-distorting practices that have been implemented by Canada to protect their supply management and their market opportunities. This offers an opportunity and a capacity to enact policies and regulations that will encourage and not inhibit imports from the U.S. The most recent example of Canadian action is the adoption of Class 6 and Class 7, which has created a serious problem in our dairy industry. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to be back here. I look forward to the questions from the committee, and I yield the balance of my time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Secretary. Ms. Frazier, 5 minutes. Mr. Frazier, 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Kendall Frazier, and I'm the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the oldest and largest national association of cattlemen. I'm honored to provide you with our perspective on the importance of the North American Free Trade Agreement and the risk we face if the U.S. beef industry is saddled with changes to NAFTA that may jeopardize our current access to Canada and Mexico. According to USDA, the U.S. beef industry consists today of around 900,000 cattle and calf operations, a national herd size of about 100 million head of cattle, accounting for roughly $67.5 billion in annual farm gate receipts. In 2016, our industry sold over $6.3 billion in beef products around the world, with exports alone accounting for over $300 per head for every fed steer and heifer. NCBA strongly supports NAFTA because the terms of NAFTA developed Canada and Mexico into two very important export markets for U.S. beef. While there may be calls from other segments of agriculture and other industries to update or renegotiate the terms of NAFTA, we strongly encourage our negotiators to focus their efforts on those specific areas and leave alone the terms of NAFTA that have greatly benefited the U.S. beef and cattle industry. Quite frankly, it is difficult to improve upon duty-free, unlimited access to Canada and Mexico, and we are pleased to see that USTR announced its support for continued reciprocal duty-free access. Even still, our message remains the same. Please do no harm and do not jeopardize our access. On average, Canada and Mexico have been two of our top five export markets with approximately $1 billion each in annual sales. While Canada has been a high-value market for muscle cuts, Mexico has proven to be an excellent market for things like skirts, tongues, and other cuts that Americans find less desirable. Now, opponents of NAFTA try to paint a dark picture of uneven beef trade, saying NAFTA has been our downfall for over 20 years. Opponents pin all our problems on NAFTA, but they fail to acknowledge other key factors that our industry has faced, like a BSE case in 2003,
severe drought that caused beef and cattle shortages, the strength of the U.S. dollar, and the continuation of tax policies that encouraged the breakup of multi-generational cattle operations. Simply put, opponents view NAFTA as a zero-sum game and fail to consider important factors such as our incredible growth in global exports and the value that exports bring to all segments of our industry. This view is a great disservice to all producers. In addition, the NCBA strongly opposes any attempts to use NAFTA as a vehicle to resurrect failed policies of the past, such as mandatory country of origin labeling, also known as COOL. COOL was a U.S. law for over 6 years and failed to deliver on its promises to build consumer confidence and add value to our products. Instead, COOL resulted in a long battle at the World Trade Organization, with the United States facing the promise of more than $1 billion in retaliatory tariffs from Mexico and Canada unless COOL was repealed. Canada and Mexico still have the authority to retaliate against the United States if COOL is brought back into effect, and rest assured they will retaliate against us if necessary. We encourage you to build on the success that current NAFTA provisions have given U.S. beef producers. And I thank you for asking me to appear this morning.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.